Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We'll come to this very important reading of the best authentic collection on the planet today. My name is Ahmed Darwish. I'm the servant of www.allah.com, www.muhammad.com for over 30 years. Alhamdulillah, if you ask me what is your speciality, it will be mainly hadith. Allah bless me to document all the hadith work and enter over 700 hadith volumes in Excel. And before my work, the hadith was like a tunnel. You cannot see the light in it. And now it is completely lit, and we know everything since I arranged it. Over 3,000 authors with their hadith work in according to the day of death. The major 9 books, I put them in one Excel, color coded, and break them into different cells by name, by chain, by prophetic statement. By subject, mechanical accurate numbering, and so forth. A repetition between them was about 10,000 hadith. Entering hadith in Excel was very important because of the subjugating it to logic, which never happened before. It happened in the top scholar, which called Huffaz, alhamdulillah, Nation of Islam, about 350 Hafiz, like the top one is Hafiz Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Anyhow, so I'm satisfied to go through everything, document it, and produced a lot of work, alhamdulillah. For example, the Musnad Ahmad Ibn Hanbal, I am the first one to release it with its explanation. It is over 28,000 hadiths. I released the work of Suyuti electronically in Excel, 46,000 hadiths, of course not all authentic and so forth. So I really, Allah bless me to do so much. I give you just one example. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani spent 40 years on the side wherever he's reading book. He collected the names of Sahaba and put biographies about them. He arranged them in like AA, AB, AC, and so forth. So it became 1,100 classification. And he arranged them by 4 classification, who's known to be the Sahaba, who's the children of Sahaba, people who were old-timer, attended the Prophet time, but they never became a Muslim. Then those who considered by mistake that they are companions. So this work, he documented over 12,500 biographies. And took him 40 years, as I mentioned. Allah bless me, in about 4 days, I extracted from the 1,100 classification all the Sahaba and their companion to come to the finale number of 9,408, those who came to us in news in books, whether they reported hadith or not. And of course, this collection is little less than the 10% who attended the farewell khutbah, which was the number was about 124,000 Sahaba, alhamdulillah. So this is, I'm just giving you an idea how I focus on doing the finale statements. Now, today I'm introducing for you the best book ever after the 9 books was written as a renewer for all of them, because as you know, these books, the reason they have repetition, because they never have a centralized archiving center in which say Bukhari goes and collect and report on the spot what he has reported, so nobody else goes and try to find the same hadith again. But because this never happened, because they went in different direction, riding or walking on foot, So there was no such thing as of today. So my work is in a way to try to produce this archiving center. And I, alhamdulillah, I did in many works. Now, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, again, I show that 90% are authentic, and Ahmad ibn Hanbal has a policy of putting in the fire any statement, false statement come across, or tear it by his hand. So he has this wonderful methodology. It's kind of like ISO 9000, that he never keep in his house and his collection or his holding any false hadith. So after he passed away, over 11 camels, handwritten, he collected from Yemen, from Mecca and Medina, from Iraq, from everywhere. May Allah have mercy on him. And he came up with this musnad, saying, this musnad, I put it so if you are different in a hadith, you will come to it as your authority, like frame of reference to find if any hadith authentic or not. He arranged it by the Sahaba. It means every Sahaba reported something, he put it under his name. So again, I release a lot of Excel of this wonderful work. So now, today in the West, you have a lot of what I call liberal, capitalistic Muslim worker and sheikhs, the people who are really after money and trying to bluff you and tell you that they are doing Islamic da'wah. This is the reason they are feeling miserably, because the Afro-American Muslims, my brothers, Afro-American Muslims, they are less than a million, and they are the same number since Elijah Muhammad, movement. It's almost the same. You have few here and there embracing Islam. The Caucasian, the white people, they are for like 30 years, about maybe 10,000, give and take. So the majority of Muslims are the immigrant, and they went for the land of opportunity. For land of opportunity. For land of opportunity. So they are really after money. That's all. So where is the guidance? The guidance, you go to the Prophet, because he's our guide. You don't go to people who are collecting money from you or trying to give you a degree. Islam doesn't have this kind of degrees you are seeing in the West, or say, oh, we have accredited school. All this is like PS, excuse my French. So today we are introducing Hafiz Talidi. Hafiz Talidi, one of the top scholars of hadith alive today. He is 82 years old. Allah bless him. He doesn't charge much. He's not into fame. It's the reason you don't know about him. He's almost like in seclusion, sitting, making zikr and writing wonderful hadith books. He's a student of my late Sheikh Hafiz Abdullah ibn Siddiq al-Ghumari and his elder brother Hafiz Ahmad ibn Siddiq. These are like the people who revived the hadith for the last 50, 70 years. They came to Egypt, and in Egypt there were no muhaddis, and they really revived the science of hadith with over 400 books. Unfortunately, the Muslims in the West are busy with monetizing Islam, trying to make money from Islam. A guy writing a book, or the other one sitting at school, and so forth. So this is the reason it's not really going, the Dawah is not going very well, unfortunately, because you don't have the pure spirit of Islam. People I like will be like Bawa Muhyiddin in Pennsylvania, a man come from like Sri Lanka, tell this highly educated the truth, and they loved him, and he never charged their money, and he passed away, and it's wonderful. He says, if you are in truth, there is no noise, and you will not have a lot of questions. Truth is silent. So this is exactly what Sheikh Hafiz Abdullah, Hafiz Abdullah Mustiq al-Ghumari, Hafiz Ahmed, and the life now, Hafiz Talidi. So Hafiz Talidi did a wonderful work. So between us, alhamdulillah, we finalized the whole Islamic library. I'll give you another example. Sheikh Albani, always he wrote between 80 to 100 books. And all his work, I collected it in one Excel of 55,000 hadiths. So they are in alphabetical order. And we show the where he has like shortcoming and stuff like that. So you, the person you are listening to, Ahmed, there is no pride or anything, but Allah blessed me to dive into the library, Islamic library, understand it very well. So I want you to sit, relax, sit back, relax, and enjoy this very good introduction, because we'll start with the introduction of the book, which is called Bidayatul Usul. This book, it has only authentic. So it is really as if you squeezed all the 9 books into one book, but you neglected any hadiths not authentic. So he really back to methodology of Ahmed ibn Hanbal, but he even went sharper by even avoiding the what's called weak daif. So this what make it, alhamdulillah, very special collection, and this is really considered the finale of the finale of hadith work. So now we are going to listen to Hafiz Talidi introduction, and I will put some notation of some work I have done on some books he mentioned. For example, he said three books of Tabarani, for example. It happened that I joined them together into one, and so forth. So I will put such notation. So the introduction, first of all, this book covering over 3,000 topics. I will be scanning the one topic at a time, releasing it in Arabic and reading it in Arabic and translating it in English on the fly. So forgive my like slang or not very high academic translation. I'm just going to have it like for layman. All right? Besides, English is my second language. And my beloved wife and Khadija, she's busy in something else. But if you visit Allah.com or Muhammad.com or Mosque.com, you realize the magnitude of what Allah bless us to release. The best 2 biography of the Prophet, one of them 900 years. The best edition translation of the Quran, very accurate, plus arrange it in topic at a time, close to 2,000 topic. Then we have, of course, What is Islam? It's a very nice booklet. I wish you'd go and distribute it to people around you. And also the Hadith of the Prophet. She translated Nawi and also extracted 61 subjects and put Nawi almost without repetition in it, which I named Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaks to you in 61 topics. So if you go there, you will have, she has, as a matter of fact, 333 books, including booklets, children's stories, about 50 to 80 stories and poems. So we have a complete collection to that you study or Islam. You don't want to go to get degree or spend money to anybody. Islam, anyway, anytime you go spend money to learn, this is not the Islamic way, and you lose the barakah. There's a reason people are spending a lot of money learning and there is no barakah in their knowledge, no blessing. Because the Prophet never charged, the Sahaba never charged, and the second generation, nobody charged in Islam except the Western Muslim worker, kind of like smart ass, you know, excuse my French. So the people liberalizing Islam, even the in Zaytuna, they say we are the liberal, accredited liberal Islamic art. You know, give me a break. Collecting 96,000 from every student. You can take this money and go Hajj and set up a small business. You take the Khadija one click, you download 300 books, and you don't need to go to Zaytuna. Because by the time you finish Zaytuna, you'll be a graduated hypocrite. Why? Because you want a good return on investment on your 100 grand, right? You spend 100,000, you want to make money, right? Come on. So this is what happened exactly. Nobody spent 100,000 to learn so he can go teach people for free, right? Yeah, I want a good job and I am proud to be graduated from this liberal capitalistic accredited. All this is like bullshit statements. Okay? What this accredited means. Here is a top scholar of Hadith in Tangier sitting. Nobody studying, coming from America, twisting his arm or legs and learning. No, you just want, you know, showbiz. So, okay, if you want showbiz, hereafter has no paradise. Showbiz doesn't go to paradise. Showbiz goes to hell, okay? So, learn that. The work, I think there is a guy called Jonathan or something in MIT. He loved the hadith and he gave a few nice lectures. But really, he want to, I wish I meet him so he can see the area which is anxious for some finales. He will not dream that we have done it. Alhamdulillah. By the barakah and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, also, by the way, when I tell you I did that, I really didn't do it. Allah blessed me. He created the doing, created me, creating my doing, and He helped me, supported me to do it, to dedicate our life, not making money, to do this for 30 years. And He gave us provision from other sources, such as IT business I did on the part-time and so forth. As a matter of fact, Allah blessed me to work in this IT and make a top good money and work in Fortune 500 so I can learn a lot of technology so I can use it to serve the hadith. So it is wonderful win-win situation. I collected all the work on hadith on earth in alphabetical order in 275,000 hadith. One click, you can download it. Of course, a lot of repetition, about 20 times more or more. And there are false and so forth. Everything is like noted there. So now let's go to Sheikh Khalidi. He said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Most Merciful. May Allah praise and venerate, which means Salah. Salah means praise and venerate. The praise and veneration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and granting peace and blessing upon our Master, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his companion, and his household, his wives. Praise be to Allah who gave us a gift of Iman and Islam, being a believer and surrendering to Him, and made us among the best nation, of the best person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The praise and peace upon the perfect praise and peace upon the most honorable messenger, our Master Sayyidina Muhammad, his family, the blessed one. And may Allah be pleased, may Allah Zahai be pleased with all his companion, the honorable, and those who are guided with their guidance and followed them up in perfection up to the day of recompense. Yawm al-Din means recompense. Having said that, Wabad, this book I named it Bidayatul Usul Bilubbi Sahih al-Ummahat wal-Usul. This book is abridgment. He meant not no repetition. And it is a series gathering the prophetic hadith, prophetic saying, with a brief explanation after each hadith, without enlonging or short coming. I wrote it originally for myself and those who are having short time or lazy, who don't have time, nor they have the ability to read the long books and can judge which one is authentic or not. I selected from the major reference, the certified major references, which gathered all the hadith of the Prophet and his sunnah, in which nothing is missed there. Only there are a lot of repetition and many chains, and maybe they documented some which is not authentic to tell people about it, kind of warning them. So this is a core authentic collection. I kept only the authentic and I arranged it in chapters and sections, topics. It has all the acceptable hadith such as Mutawatir Lafzi, Mutawatir Ma'nawi, Ahad, Mashhur, Aziz, Gharib, Sahih, Hasan, and so forth. All the classification of authentic hadith. And I never included a hadith which the scholars consider weak and under. So with the verse from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his success, it include a lot of hadith, even more than the two Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim, with 1,000. Because Bukhari and Muslim, may Allah have mercy on them, they never gathered all the authentic hadith. Though they have 1,000 there. Because their methodology was not to gather all, but to gather most. So they missed many, and alhamdulillah, I collected them. But every authentic hadith is according to their conditions, both or separately each. And I collected from the other Sahih collections. So you will find book hadith in Muwatta, Bukhari, Muslim, Sunan Abu Dawood, An-Nasai, At-Tirmizi, Ibn Majah, Ad-Darimi, Al-Bayhaqi, Masanid Al-Tayalisi, Musnad Ahmad, Al-Humaydi, Abi Ya'la, Al-Bazzar, Musannaf Ibn Abi Shayba, Musannaf Abd al-Razzaq, Sahih Ibn Khuzayma, Sahih Ibn Hibban, Mustadrak Al-Hakim, Ma'ajib Al-Tabarani Thalatha. These are the three dictionaries of hadith. He has a dictionary of hadith according to his teachers. So alhamdulillah, I combine them into one. This is Ahmed Darwish, while Sheikh, he worked with them separately, extracted the authentic hadith from them, together with others, as you will see when I report the reference of each hadith. So muqaddima, introduction. So before we start in the first subject, which is the first topic is science and ilm, which is about 75 hadiths. If you go to any reference, you will never find 75 hadiths in it. So this is the reason this book is really special. So every topic is like a complete book, covered everything. So in a way, if you go to the book of knowledge, and you study it or you hear it several times, you will learn from the Prophet directly, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you are one of his companion, and you will have the same collection which the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, heard from the Prophet. And this is a speciality about this book, and this, the chance that you learn that. This is the reason I'm translating it on the fly, because of its importance to serve the hadith of Prophet in English, and to be like a bridge for you to learn from the Prophet directly, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it is authentic, so everything you hear, it is authentic, so that's it. So there is no search on your part or doubt or anything. Because as Quran, Allah said that this is a book in which there is no doubt. The same, this is a hadith in which no doubt. So you go ahead and you take one topic at a time. I will release, scan and translate and read in Arabic one topic at a time. So at the end, you'll have maybe 3,000 topic or more. It will be more than 3,000 topic. And you will pick the topic you study in this order or in any order you want. But you pick one topic, you paid no money for it. And we want you to continue doing that because this is not for sale or resale. May Allah, if anybody uses this to sell, may Allah lit fire in his tomb and bless him and give him no blessing in this life. This work is trust, not for sale or resale. As the Prophet, Allah ordered him not to ask us for a wage. We are carrying the same methodology. So you sit down, you study it and teach it, you read it, you do whatever you want with it. It's all yours. This is the inheritance of the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't leave a dinar or dirham, silver or gold. He left this knowledge. And we're giving it to you free for Allah's sake. So give it some respect, okay? So the Sheikh, he's going to give introduction. He said that we have different dimension here. The first dimension will be what is the divine revelation. The divine revelation is that which Allah sent down upon Prophet, His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is two type. The first one, the holy reading, Al-Quran. It is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in which you worship by reciting it. And it has a miracle in which the shortest surah in it is a miracle. Nobody can do one like it. It is memorized in the chests, recited, written in the Quran. And it is absolutely proved, collected from Mutawatir means generation via generation. Not one guy told us. The Prophet told the whole Sahaba in the last khutbah over 124,000. And this gave the second generation. All of them, most of them told the second generation of their children and so forth. So it's not one via one. It is generation telling generation. So this is called Mutawatir. And this is the highest way of delivering knowledge. Okay? When a complete town tell a complete town about a piece of knowledge. So it is arranged in chapters, verses, words, letters. Anyone deny any part of it or one of its ruling, any of its news, he is not considered among the Muslims. The second one is Sunnah, the prophetic lifestyle, ways and means. It has many ways of definition. So in language, Sunnah means any path, whether it is good or bad. The people of principle of religion and scholars of hadith, they mean by sunnah the wording of the Prophet, his deeds, alhamdulillah, and anything he approved, and also his attributes and his biography. The jurists, they consider sunnah anything beyond the obligatory. And also anything as opposite of innovation, in which against the Quran or the prophetic saying collective opinion of the Sahaba and generation to come, called Ijma', kind of census. The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, they receive it from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as they receive the Quran. They reported it for those who after them, following the instruction of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said, whosoever attending, let him tell the absent. يُبَلِّغْ مِنْكُمْ الشَّهِدِ الْغَائِبِ. And also is a statement Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when he said, may Allah honor the face of a person who hear my statement, understand it, and deliver it as he heard it. And he said, also, you hear and you will be heard. And also will be heard from those who heard you, and so forth. As this hadith will be explained and reported soon. Now this section of the sunnah, the revelation, the hadith, some is mutawatir, like generation or collection of scholars, sahaba gave it to collection of tabi'in and so forth, those who follow, whether by the wording as is or by the meaning. And some of it is not in that rank, such as Ahad, Mashur, Aziz, and Gharib. All these are used if specific criteria or condition is satisfied, as in the science. The second dimension, the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, was not written down in the beginning as the Quran. During the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran was written, then was collected from like primitive media like skin and bones and so forth. Then in the time of Sayyidina Uthman, he put it in a modern media of paper, and some of it up until now available like in Muslim neighborhood in old Russian Federation. As for the hadith of the prophetic saints Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it started to be recorded later in time after the Quran. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the beginning, he forbid anybody to write down but the Quran. I say because he wanted them to set up the methodology and a class of people, about 30 Sahaba, to sit down and write Quran as it is revealed. So there is no mix and to protect it. And once they start familiar with this methodology, then he allowed them to start recording also hadith. And it is reported, whosoever wrote anything other than Quran, let him erase it. Why? Because in the beginning, no mix. The Quran said this is in which the book in which there is no doubt. So part of no doubt, we don't want to record anything but the Quran. Once this recording methodology and set appointed by the Prophet Sahaba to record, then other Sahaba or the same team can record privately the hadith if they want. But the Quran was recorded as kind of private and public ownership, like recorded and kept in the with the Prophet. They write and give it to him, put it in his wife's house and so forth. While if you write hadith, you will keep it in your house.
So just to differ between, like, as if you have an official job and you do some work at home, part-time. So your part-time work will be writing hadith, but your full-time job is like 9 to 5 doing the writing the Quran. I'm just giving you analogy or like example. But in the beginning, once you get the job full-time, you are not allowed to do anything at home. Just to get familiar with what you're doing. Okay? So this was reported, what the Prophet said was reported by Muslim and others. Then later the Prophet started giving permission for them to write down other than Quran. For example, the Prophet said, "Uktubu li Abi Shah," write, this is a companion come from outside. He hear the khutbah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the open of Mecca, and he asked if they can write it for him. So the Prophet said, write it for him. Listen to me now. Imagine the Sahaba listened to the Prophet. He didn't interrupt him till the Prophet finished the khutbah. Then the Prophet say, write it for him. So he is not going to read it again. Why? Because the Sahaba, and the Arab during this time, they have this marvelous memorization capability. If they hear anything, they can repeat it as is again. Because it's just their nature. Then when I analyze it down the road, if he speaks slang, a guy go to see maybe a movie or something, and he come repeat exactly everything because it is his own language, his own slang. So their slang was a classic Arabic. So when they hear it, they memorize it. And the Arabs sitting in the Bedouin, there's not a lot of attraction. They just have the sky and the desert. So the wording is the only thing they can enjoy. So they have this capability that their memory was very strong. Okay? And some scholar like Imam Shafi, when he read a page, he memorized it. He used to, when he's young, to cover the other page. Otherwise, I will read from the other page too, before he reached to it. So it is marvelous capability. And Allah gave them to protect the hadith and the Quran by giving them this capability. It is reported in Bukhari that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "None of the Sahaba, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was more than me in hadith collection, except Abdullah ibn Umar, because he used to write and I don't." And so forth. So this is proof that other people used to write than Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira used to hear by heart. The third dimension, the beginning of Tadween. The beginning of Tadween, Sheikh here said it is started by Omar ibn Abdul Aziz, which is in the second, after 100 years of migration. And as a matter of fact, his father, who was also ruler, who started this, and Omar ibn Aziz, did the completion of it. Fourth dimension, who's the first one to start writing down? Remember, they already have all the hadiths in their hearts. By heart, they know it. So we're not talking about something missing. All right? Kind of like there is a song in town and everybody playing it, okay? But nobody write it down. So a guy come in a newspaper and write it down. So he'll be the first one who wrote down the song. I'm not talking about the song author who wrote it first. I'm talking about this song just came down to the society that everybody playing and hearing it. But you find it only as a voice. But there is no word or document of it, text of it. So the first one to text it doesn't give him the power that he is the one who wrote it. He just documented it, okay? documented what is there. So a lot of people, when they talk about writing hadith, is through doubt about, because they don't understand. They say, oh, it is written 100 years after. They don't understand what we're talking about. The hadith, the Arab memorize everything, and hadith is alive, and they are reading it in, like, in supplication of the Prophet, like imitating the Prophet and everything. So we don't have a problem. All right? Though there are Sahaba who wrote 7,000 hadith collection here and collection there, so the hadith is there written already, but it's not an official, like governmental in a way. So this is where the emperor, or this is where the caliph, okay, or the prince of the believer officially set up a committee and do it. Same like Sayyidina Omar, Caliph Omar, when he started doing like post office administration or army administration, stuff like that. Doesn't mean people were not sending messages before, or people were not participating in jihad. Of course there was, but he did an extra organization by setting up all these different administration, this department, okay? Setting group of people dedicating to do it, and setting methodology and recording wisdom and policies and so forth, okay? So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz wrote to Abu Bakr ibn Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Hazm al-Ansari, and he was his man over Medina. And he said to him, look at any of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith, so write it down, because I'm afraid that the knowledge goes away when the ulama go. I mean, if they die, die with them anyway. So this was reported in Bukhari. And also he ordered Ibn Shahab al-Zuhri to do the same. And he was one of the grand scholar of hadith, as reported in Ibn Abdul Barr, that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz ordered us to collect all the sunnah and to write it a book after a book. And he sent to every town under his leadership a book to read. So just putting it from verbal into paper, okay? That's all what happened. Because he don't have a recording. I think if there was a recording during this time, they will maybe not write it at all. Say just record and send a cassette or video or flash and so forth, okay? So this is exactly what we're talking about. So there is no doubt about it, okay? So those who put the doubt, mainly orientalists and people are hypocrites, or maybe who are ignorant. So Ibn Abdul Barr again reported that the first one who write down was Ibn Shahab. Okay? Remember that every scholar, when he read from his own collection. Like, for example, we have about 60,000 reporting persons and all the isnad. I made Excel of it, alphabetical order. So every one of them, he read from his own home collection. So it is the scholar of hadith, 60,000, they read from their collection. Like Imam Malik has his own collection, which is about 602 hadith. He used to read them together with a lot of jurisprudence, opinion of scholars, okay? So here Imam Malik has his own book, okay? So everyone, you hear his name, he has his own written book. He treasure it, protect it, and read from it. And even scholars having definition about if someone, his collection burn out and this, and how we can going to describe his memory and so forth. Because you have a person who read from his memory and this who read from his book. And they prefer the one who read from his book because more accurate. And also, he will not go to speak by meaning. He will give the exact word instead of a meaning of it. Okay? So after that came a generation in Mecca, Ibn Juraij
he passed away 150. We mention year of death right away. No need to repeat it as year of death, okay? Then Ibn Ishaq, 151. In Medina, Ibn Abi Aruba, 156. Al-Rabi Ibn Subayh, 160. Imam Malik, 179. In Basra, in Iraq, Hamad Ibn Salama, 167. Kufa, Sufyan al-Thawri, 161. Sufyan was one of titled Amir, Prince of the Believer. Very high top of scholar of Hadith. He usually kind of misses about 300,000 narrations. Okay, repeated reportation. Abu Amr al-Awza'i, 157. And Khurasan Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, also one of the Prince of Hadith. 181. In Yemen, Ma'mar, 154. Egypt, Al-Lays ibn Sa'd, 175. Imam Shafi'i also, who reported 250 in his Umm alone, which mainly jurisprudence-oriented hadith. So by the third generation, now this first writing in the second century, they, like from the beginning, from 100 years up to 200, we're talking second century, okay, this is it. They make the hadith with the companion opinion and the fatwa, the verdict, and so forth, okay? Then comes the third century, like 201 going up to 300. Came the, like, almost the golden age of hadith authorship, in which they start having a wonderful collection, either arranged by Sahaba, by every Sahaba his collection, like Musnad, or the authentic only, or the Sunan, or dictionaries, or history, like say Tariq, say history of Damascus, but all of it hadith, have 39,000 hadith, which we, alhamdulillah, released half of it, is 69 volumes. Okay, so producing excels of it. Then you have what's called agza, like booklets, collection of booklets. So among these generation was Abu Dawud Talisi, 204. And he's maybe the first one who wrote a Musnad. Musnad means collection by the companion name. Abdullah al-Humaydi al-Mutawaffa, 2019, passed in 2019. Asad al-Sunnah al-Mutawaffa, 212. We're talking Islamic lunar calendar, of course. Musaddad ibn Masrad ibn Musarhad, 228. Ahmad ibn Hanbal, 241. And his Musnad is the most grand one because it's 28,000 hadith. Alhamdulillah, I released him in Excel and was in Word and so forth, proving that 90% of it authentic and 3,500 da'if, which prove that he honored the da'if because he used to burn or tear the false. Baqiy ibn Makhlad, 276. And Ad-Darimi, 280. Al-Bazzar, 292. Ar-Ruyani, 307. Abi Ala, 307. And as for those who wrote in Sahih, is al-Bukhari, 256. And Muslim, 261. Ibn Khuzaima, 311. Ibn Hibban, 354. Al-Hakim Abu Abdullah, 405. Al-Hakim, this is a like a surname, but it's not a title in hadith. Then you have Mustakhrajat, which is like commentary and follow-up on Sahih collection, like Ibn Awana. and who passed 316, and Ismaili 371, وأبو نعيم الأصبهاني 430, and others. As for those who wrote in Sunnah, you have Abu Dawood 275, Tirmidhi 275, Nasa'i 303, Ibn Majah 275, Darimi 255. So these are the most famous sources of hadith. And with this, writing down is nothing missed. Then after that came a fourth generation who Al-Hakim is one of them, who has a Mustadrak, and Bayhaqi, he has a Sunan al-Kubra, which I released it in Excel, because Hafiz Ahmad wrote a book called Maq al-Islam about the fiqh in it, and I made that to help whosoever will take the version handwritten and reduce it. Al-Bayhaqi passed 458. Ibn Abdul Barr has a Tamheed, passed 463. Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi 463. And Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi, I also may have his tariq. I produced a hadith index, complete hadith index of his, in Excel, of his tariq Baghdad. And also tariq Dimashq by Ibn Asakir. We are halfway, because it's the largest on earth. And so for the scholar of hadith, made this Islamic library a grand one. Alhamdulillah, most all these books I mentioned are already part of my 700 Excel importation collection. And I produced automatic hadith data warehouse, in which when you search for a man or a statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it produced for you all the books from 300 based by the date of death. So it means the first one come first, which is a wonderful collection. The fifth dimension, who reported or wrote only or authored only an authentic. So see, Al-Imam, our Master Muhammad ibn Ismail Bukhari, may Allah be pleased with him, he's the first one to do that. And this was done according to instruction from his teacher, Ahmad ibn Hanbal. As I told you, Ahmad ibn Hanbal have 90% authentic, and he has 3,500, less than 10% daif. Why? Because he has an opinion to say, and instead of saying somebody opinion, I rather use a daif hadith, but not the false, of course. So he instructed Bukhari and Muslim to go and do collection of hadith. And this is the reason among Ahmad ibn Hanbal, 11,000 hadith, which I released them in Excel, they are according to Bukhari and Muslim condition, which means the condition is a teacher condition, okay? So Bukhari mentioned thousands of authentic hadith, according to the hadith terminology, scholar of hadith himself. Because fuqaha, they have their own ways to define the hadith, which it helped their fiqh endeavor. So they accept or kind of more relax on the authenticity level. These two books are the most authentic after the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Darqutni, scholar of like critique, he criticized about 200 hadiths in Bukhari and Muslim, and he was overruled by Hafiz ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari and Imam Nawawi in his explanation of Muslim, showing like he has shortcoming. Then at the end remain only about no more than 5 hadiths in the all this collection was taken against them that these are not to that level of authenticity, which is very, very, very minor, of course. Then followed Muhammad ibn Khuzaymah, عن student ابن حبان البستي الحاكم المستدرك على الصحيحين though he was not very accurate sometime ابن الجرود he wrote المنتقى which is about 700 listed it in the book in an article once he has his book المختارة he has some authentic hadith which is not in the Bukhari and Muslim so these are the most authentic collection of course the authentic hadith 90% of Ahmed Mahabla I released it alone and also I shown it in Bukhari and Muslim together and make it as 24,000 hadith release though the sunan is from the prince is from the major reference of hadith but they mix between sahih and others and the best of it in Nisa'i and in Darimi and as for Tirmizi is full of knowledge and
Sheikh Albani when he produced it he fell short of about 500 hadith his opinion was not accurate and Sheikh Talidi corrected
that in his release of it, which inshallah maybe we'll scan and read it for you too. I started doing this on the site. The sixth dimension is the abridgment of hadith. When people start kind of being weak and not paying great attention of their time to the sunnah like earlier generation, so came some scholars who start doing abridgment or doing, making it easy. For example, Suyuti collected, Suyuti who passed 9/11, he collected from 1,850 books. He collected 46,000 hadiths, which I released in index of, in Excel. And when I put them color-coded in my grand collection of 275,000 hadith. So there's 46,000. Suyuti, I prove he collected it from 65,000 chains. And I released that too. Then Kanz al-Ummal came and arranged, this was in alphabetical order. He arranged it in, Kanz al-Ummal arranged it in subject. Then I joined both of them in one Excel. One click you have it in subject. One click you have it alphabetical, but still the subject next to it. And I put the different level of ruling from Hafiz Ahmad Hafiz Abdullah al-Ghumari and also al-Albani. Jami' al-Usul by Ibn al-Athir al-Ghazri, past 606. It has six books, Bukhari Muslim, Abu Dawud, Nasa'i Tirmizi, and he described the unfamiliar wording. And he produced another book of that called Gharib al-Hadith. As a matter of fact, I produced a large double of that, his size in about 12,000 Gharib Hadith Excel. I mean a word and the meaning of it. Number fourth is Mishkat al-Masabih. And this one also by At-Tabrizi, past 737, and originally written by Al-Baghawi, who wrote Masabih al-Sunnah. He abridged it from the two Sahih and Sunan. But he didn't describe the rank of some of the hadith. So At-Tabrizi came in and complete the work. The fifth is Majma' al-Zawa'id wa Manba' al-Fawa'id by Nuruddin al-Haythami, Bus 807. This is a wonderful work because he mentioned hadith over other than the six books, which is in Musnad Ahmad, Abu Ya'la al-Bazzar, and Tabarani, the three dictionaries of Tabarani. He mentioned the matn and he did, and the Sahaba, and he spoke about hadith terminology, give it
ruling if it's authentic or not. So it came to 18,775 hadiths. And it's very important for a scholar of hadith to check the opinion about one hadith or the other. I took that and I combined it with Al-Busiri book and one of Sheikh Hafiz Mahajar and produced Excel, and also I marked the ruling among them, about 14,000 ruling, which is wonderful, or 16, which is wonderful. Then the finale is number 7 dimension is Sharh al-Sunnah, the explanation of Sunnah by Baghawi, which is one of the most the gathering one, an abridgment. Past 516. And he commented on every hadith with explanation. It is a wonderful book.
But again, he has some hadith which is not authentic. And there are many books like that, alhamdulillah. Number 7. So this is all the hadith collection. Now, the book we're talking about today, this Bidayat al-Usul, really is, as you put all these books in a mixer, juiced it, then you put it in a funnel or in some kind of sift and took only the authentic. This is a finale. No book written like this Bidayah since the 9 books recorded. So you should pay great attention because this is all what you need. Number 7, what is the position of Sunnah in the Sharia? It is the second reference after the Quran, of course. As there are many verses of Quran talking that the Prophet doesn't speak of any desire, everything it is revealed coming out of his mouth and so forth, and whatever the messenger gave you, take it, and whatever he forbid you, so stay away from it. The Prophet said, I was given the Quran and the like of it, which is the Sunnah. So this Sunnah, some of it will be supported by the Quran. Some of it will be explaining what is in the Quran. Okay? Or completing the more details. For example, Bray Asr, we don't know how many rak'ah in Quran, so the Sunnah can come and explain. The 8th dimension, the obligation of following Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and that the obedience of the Messenger is considered the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a collective between all the scholars that obeying the Messenger and following him in his guidance, his way of life and lifestyle is considered the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said, whosoever obeyed the Messenger, indeed he obeyed Allah. That he told the Prophet, say, obey Allah and the Messenger. If they turn away, indeed Allah doesn't love the unbeliever. And he said, whosoever obey Allah and his Messenger and fears Allah and yattaqhi, fear him, indeed those are the winner. Allah said, whatever the Prophet, Allah said, indeed in the Prophet for you is a fine example. And Allah made the sign of loving Allah is to obey the Messenger. Say, indeed if you love Allah, follow me. Allah loves you and forgives you your sin. Then Allah warned with the punishment and trials for those who differ with the Prophet ﷺ. Let them be warned, those who disobey his order, that a trial will fall them or
or a painful chastisement will hit them. Even Allah negated iman from those who disobey his opinion, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and didn't surrender to him. Indeed, by your Lord, they will not be believer till they make you rule in the matters among them, in which they find in themselves any discomfort of what you have judged, and they surrender completely. And the Prophet ﷺ ordered us, said, follow my sunnah. And he said, whosoever obey me, he obeyed Allah. And whosoever disobey me, he disobey Allah. So when Muslims get into argument with one another about something, they have to go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They return it to Allah and his messenger, as in the Quran instruction. And whosoever want to learn all this, he can go to the book of Ilm, Kitab al-Ilm, Ibn Abd al-Barr, A'lam al-Muwaqqa'in, Ibn al-Qayyim, Iqaz al-Himam, Salih al-Filani, Wal-Mizan, Al-Arif al-Sha'rani, Wal-Sawarim, Wal-Asinna, Al-Dhab an al-Sunnah, Li-Abi Madian al-Shankiti, Wal-Qawl al-Mufid al-Shawkani. Number 9. Some selection of the virtue of joining, becoming busy with the Hadith al-Nabawi and spreading it and inviting to it. In this section, we'll give you some example of such. Because those who are busy with the hadith, he will be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one, honoring the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, honoring the people of hadith studies, not for money. Once you do it for money, you're out of it. When he said, "May Allah honor the face of someone who heard from us something," then he proclaimed it as he heard it, as it wrote in Ahmad, Tirmizi, Ibn Majah, and others. Al-Baghawi said, Al-Khattabi and Ibn Athir, supplication for him to honor his face and to have favor and handsome. Number two, they are the more they are the more more in terms of ranks of belonging to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than others. إن أولى الناس بيوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The people who are most with me on day of judgment, those who present beneath me, making salah on the Prophet. And of course, a scholar of hadith continuously mentioning his name, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and repeating the supplication of sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hafiz Khawi said in Qawl al-Badi'a, as you say with your tongue is also when you write, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in your book, after his name, you get the reward as such. Number three, many scholars said that hadith which is mutawatir, collectively reported, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم على ذلك. There is a group of my nation
they will incline to the truth, and nothing harm them of those who differ with them or let them down till the matter of Allah comes. That the scholar said, these are the scholar of hadith.
And Sheikh Muhyiddin Ibn Arabi, in his book Futuhat al-Makkiyah, in the third section, it's in 300. In 313 section, said that the inheritance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are only those who are scholar of hadith, not the jurists and the rest. This in brief. Number five. Many good visions seen about the scholar of hadith. For example, Abu Zura, seen after he passed away. He said, When I met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I said, Abu Zura, a baby comes and I let him enter paradise. How about who protected the sunnah to my worshippers? You enter paradise from wherever you want, I mean from which door you want.
And Hafs ibn Abdullah said that he saw Abu Zura in vision praying in the first sky, leading the angels. So I told him, how come you reached that? He said, because I wrote 1,000, I wrote 1,000 means 1,000,000 prophetic saying, where I say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet say, whosoever sallallahu alaihi salah sallallahu alaihi ashar, whosoever prays venerate me once, Allah prays and venerate him 10 times. Al Khatib, in Sharaf As, in his book The Honor of the Companion of Hadith, he said, سمعت حوثر بن محمد المنقري المصري said, I seen Zayd ibn Harun al-Wasiti in vision. After he died 4 days, 4 nights. So I told him, what Allah has done with you? He said, Allah accepted my merits and forgave my sins. And he gifted me the third party obligation. And if he hurt a third party, Allah, he gifted to satisfy that third party and not to charge him. So I told him, and how come? He said, because what you expect from the honorable except honor. He forgave my sin. He admitted me paradise. So I told him, how come you reach that? He said, with my zikr meeting, saying the truth, truthful hadith, my night prayer, my patience that I am poor. I said, what about Munkar and Nakir? Is it true? He said, yes, by Allah, he who know God but him. They sat me, they asked me, they told me, who's your Lord and who's your, and what is your religion? And who's your prophet? So I kept undusting my white beard and said, is one like me to be asked like that? I am Yazid ibn Harun al-Wasati. I was in the life 6 years I teach people. So one told the other, he said the truth. This is Yazid ibn Harun. Sleep as a bride. Nothing will shake or upset you after today. And in Huffaz, Tazkiratul Huffaz by Zahabi, Al-Hafiz Ahmad ibn Musa al-Jurjani has been seen, and he was asked, what Allah have done with you? He said, he forgave me because I wrote a lot
the hadith and I praise on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Hafiz Abd al-Mughni al-Maqdisi. He said, I saw Al-Kamal ibn Abd al-Rahim in vision. So I told, where are you? He said, in the paradise, Eden of paradise. So I told him, who's better, Al-Hafiz Abd al-Ghani or Sheikh Abu Omar? فقال ما أدري. As for Hafiz, every night he has a chair underneath the throne in which he read hadith, and they throw diamond on him, and this is my share of it in my hand. My arm cover, like in his shirt, he put in his arm some of it. In the Fihrist, Abdullah al-Qassar said, I saw Abdul Azim al-Mundiri. He said, we enter paradise and we kiss the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, bear glad tidings. Whosoever write with his hand, the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is with him in paradise. Was reported by Muhammad ibn Ja'far al-Kittani in his book, Nazm al-Mutanathir, wal-Mara'i bidhalik kathira, and there are many visions as such. And I reported some of it in the Glad Tidings Visions. Al-Khatib said in Sharaf Ashab al-Hadith, in making people busy, encouraging people to be busy with the hadith in terms of studying and teaching, of course, practicing.
He said that if the person who's fascinating with his opinion, I think this will fit exactly the Western and Muslim worker and imams who keep talking, never say Prophet said. Attend the complete maybe conference, you never hear the Prophet name and they think they are guided. If one of these self-opinionated is busy with what benefit him of knowledge, he should follow the Sunnah of Prophet, study it and follow the jurists and the scholars accordingly, and stay away from his own self-opinionated. That's because the hadith contain the principle of oneness, faith, talking about all facets of warning and the attributes of the Lord of the worlds and the statement of the unbeliever, news of the paradise and hell, what Allah prepared for them for the good and the bad, and what Allah created of heaven and earth, of the wonders and the great verses and signs, and mention of paradise and the angels, and description of those who exalt Allah and those know of Allah. And in hadith you'll find the virtue of the Prophet and the good going without, and the awliya sponsored by Allah, the stories of people in the early generation, the jihad of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and what he sent for protection, and all his ruling and verdict and his lectures and his admonition and his lifestyle and miracles, and the numbers of his wives and children and his relatives and his companion, their virtue, their news, their characteristic, their age, their lineage. You'll find the tafsir of Quran, interpretation, explanation of Quran. By the way, Hafiz Talidi produced over 1600 hadith on hadith, authentic hadith of explanation of Quran, and we released it in Arabic and translated Abdul Baqarah and Ul Baqarah in Indonesian. And else you will find the description of the Quran, the opinion of Sahaba, the ruling and verdict, and the names of the scholars of early generation and the Mujtahideen and so forth.
Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, the religion of the Prophet in poems, the religion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are his inheritance. It is the best for the use of news. Don't stay away from the signs of Hadith and its people, because self-opinion is darkness of night, while Hadith is the daytime. And maybe a youth will be ignorant of the ways of guidance, in which sun is lighting with light. Hafs ibn Tahir al-Salafi, may Allah have mercy on him, said, the religion in poem again, the religion of the Prophet and his Sharia, his detailed jurist, it is his news. And it is the best knowledge to be followed. Whosoever busy with it and spreading it among humanity, he will never be his action forgotten. Others said the knowledge is the inheritance of the Prophet. Came this in text, and the knowledgeable are his inheritance. Because the Prophet, the chosen one, he never left an inheritance other than his statement. Because this is his household and his furniture. So this is enough of what we have mentioned, and now we are going to start relying on Allah, the Most High. There is no God except He. We rely on Him. He is our sufficient, and He is the best to rely on. There is no move or power except by Allah. May Allah praise and venerate and bless our Master Muhammad, his family, his companion, his wives, his group, forever, ever, ever. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The next recording will be the Hadith of Knowledge, the Book of Knowledge, and is going to be about 75 Hadith, and there is no book on earth having 75 authentic Hadith, even Bukhari and Muslim. Thank you very much for hearing. Please pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save me and you from the punishment of hell and the punishment of tomb. هذا وبالله التوفيق وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.